Question that music fans have been debating for decades. Who's the better band, the Beatles or the Rolling Stones? Well, there will never be a perfect answer to that question. Our next guest got to thinking about the rivalry between the two bands and what was really behind it.
He says that while it is in some ways the biggest rivalry in rock and roll, it's also the most misconstrued.
Joining us now is John McMillian. He's an assistant professor of history at Georgia State University and author of the new book, Beatles versus Stones. John, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's my pleasure.
John, is this really a question that we can answer? Which one is better? Is it kind of like comparing apples and oranges?
Well, the two groups shared a lot in common. They both came from England at about the same time. They were the same age. They both loved American music, although they had slightly different tastes. And yet at the same time, they had a lot of obvious differences in the way that they styled themselves and so on. And so I wouldn't say it's quite apples and oranges, but there are some salient points of compare and contrast.
Just to be clear, for the purpose of the book, you're not taking a side.
I don't take a side in the book. I actually do hold a personal, private preference, but in this book, you know, this is more of a joint biography, mm-hmm. and I describe the inner relations that the two bands had and how they got along, and also how the rivalry was constructed by fans and people in the music business and the media, and to some degree by the bands themselves. But I didn't get into which band is better, which band had the better drummer, the better records, or anything like that. There are a lot of books like that, and a lot of, you know, critics and fans have engaged in those types of debates. But this is more of a joint biography of the two groups.
Well, there is that issue of the rivalry that you're talking about, whether, you know, constructed or actually something that developed organically. How did that get started, this idea that the Beatles and the Stones were rivals?
Well, you know, the Beatles became popular first in England and then, of course, across the world. And, you know, when they were growing up, they were kind of working class types. Some of them came from tough backgrounds, you know, John Lennon especially. But their manager, Brian Epstein, had the Beatles become more respectable. They conformed. They were polite. They bowed. They dressed well. They were amiable. And they had a lot of success that way. And then when the Stones came along, they very quickly decided to style themselves as the anti-Beatles. And so they were going to be, you know, a little surly and unpleasant and unkind to interviewers. And the more they acted that way, the more they seemed to attract attention and appeal from disaffected teenagers. And so they started to build up a slightly different fan base. And then the media really ran with that. People in the media really were quick to construe the Beatles and the Stones as rival bands. And to some degrees, there was a rivalry, but also they were friends in many respects, and they socialized.
Getting into their background, something that surprised me, given the image that you just mentioned of the Beatles as the nice, polite fellas and the Rolling Stones as kind of the bad boys. Looking at the Beatles' Hamburg years, a lot of drinking, some drugs, the groupies. I mean, it sounded like a Rolling Stones tour, but it was the Beatles.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so, you know, Beatles fans have known this for a long time, but some people are surprised to learn just how wild the Beatles were when they were growing up. And they were getting in fights and popping pills, and they had groupies and even hookers. And they had a pretty tough life when they were, you know, coming of age in Hamburg when they were in their late teens.
So was this sort of a prefab construction then? The Beatles were actually the guys who should have been the hooligans and the bad boys of rock. The Rolling Stones were from the suburbs, and they should have been, you know, the clean-cut people.
Uh-huh, yeah. So Mick Jagger, you know, he went to the London School of Economics briefly, which is a very prestigious school. And this was at a time when only about 2% of British kids even went on to any university. And Brian Jones, who founded the Rolling Stones, he didn't go on to university, but he was a grammar school kid, and he had very great grades. And if he wanted to, he could have also gone to a selective school. And this was a time after World War II when, you know, British society was a lot more segmented and rigid class-wise than it is now. If you grew up working class, you were probably going to have a job kind of like your father had or your father before him. There wasn't as much mobility. And so the Beatles, I think, you know, looked to rock and roll when they were young as a way to really make it, to sort of escape their class position. And the Stones didn't, you know, most of the members of the Stones didn't probably feel that way. They were blues revivalists, and I'm sure they wanted to hit it big just like any other, you know, group would want to be successful. But they weren't trying to, you know, escape their class position.
One thing you mentioned just now, actually, the one thing the band shared was a love of American music, of early rock and roll, of blues music. How did these two groups of young British guys from different parts of the country have this very similar love of American music?
Well, I'm not sure, except to say that a lot of British young people were looking to America for their style cues and their music cues and whatnot. The difference was that the Beatles were, you know, and both the Beatles and the Stones liked American rock and roll. You know, Chuck Berry, Buddy Holly, they both groups love those artists. But the Beatles like Motown groups maybe a bit more than the Stones, and they, also the girl groups of the era, like the Shirelles and later on the Ronettes and the Shangri-Las. Those were groups that the Beatles really, you know, admired and tried to sound like in some respects.
And did that shape their vocal harmonies? Because I think of the Beatles as very vocal harmony inflected and not so much the Rolling Stones.
But right, the Beatles got their, yeah, the Beatles were interested in the harmonies that they got from Motown. And the Stones were more into sort of gritty electric blues, you know, Muddy Waters and Jimmy Reed and that kind of thing. So there were some commonalities, but also some differences in the kind of American music that they liked. But they both liked black American artists.
Well, in terms of the rivalry, it seemed like Lennon was one who kind of particularly chafed about, you know, what the Stones were up to. I think there's a quote in your book saying he would say, "We do something," and then the Stones do it 4 months later.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think he even shrunk that. They do it 2 months later. And so it seems like, I don't know if it got under the skin of all the Beatles, but it mm-hmm. seems like Lennon took it as though it was for real.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you go into the footnotes, that there's some evidence that that quote might be apocryphal. He may not have said exactly 4 months or 2 months, but at various times he did make the point that he felt that the Rolling Stones were copying the Beatles. And frankly, there was a time when almost every British band seemed to copy the Beatles in some respects. You know, but there were various things that were very conspicuous. You know, and at one point the Beatles came out with the song Yesterday, which was just Paul McCartney's song, and it was a bit of a departure because it was just a quietly strummed guitar and some string arrangement with only Paul singing. And then just a few months later, the Stones came out with a song called As Tears Go By, which had Mick Jagger playing accompanied by just a guitar and some strings. And, you know, the Beatles released in 1965 their famous album Rubber Soul, and a lot of people thought that was the most sort of mature record the Beatles had made. It was more stylistically diverse. It dealt with autobiographical themes. They were kind of trying to critically reposition themselves as more serious musicians than they'd been before. And then the Stones followed along with Aftermath, which seemed to try to do some of the same things the Beatles were doing. And I could go on, but just then very, very briefly, maybe the most conspicuous thing was the Beatles record Sgt. Pepper was such a worldwide sensation. And then shortly afterwards, the Stones came out with a psychedelic record of their own, Her Satanic Majesty's Request. And that was thought by many people to be kind of a very poor attempt at imitating what the Beatles were doing. The Stones could do a lot of stuff, but psychedelic music was not really their strong suit.
Well, you mentioned Yesterday and As Tears Go By. I think we have clips of each of them. Let's play them close to each other and let people judge if one is maybe borrowing a bit or inspired by the other.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not.
Okay, that's the Beatles side of it. Now let's hear the other, the Rolling Stones. So, different songs, but you could see a similarity in approach there. Is that the kind of thing the Beatles maybe griped about?
Yeah, and I think the point here is not that the songs sound mm-hmm. that much alike, but, you know, they were both departures from what the groups were doing before, and then the Beatles had this big hit, and then the Stones were coming along with this song. And one of the ironies is that the Stones wrote As Tears Go By first, And it was one of the first songs that Mick and Keith wrote together, but they never recorded it themselves because they thought it didn't sound like a Stones song. They thought, this is not what the Stones are about. And then after the Beatles released Yesterday, the Stones changed their mind. They said, oh, we could do this as the Stones. And so that was an important issue.
Well, we're talking right now with John McMillian. He is the author of Beatles versus Stones.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you see one band as better than the other? Is there a place for both of them in your heart? Do each of them fulfill a different role in your life? 800-642-1234 or send an email, talk@WPR.org. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.
News, music, entertainment. Now you can find everything you love about Wisconsin Public Radio online. It's the all-new WPR.org. Get the latest news headlines from WPR and NPR, listen to our live streams, and browse the archives of your favorite shows from your computer, tablet, or smartphone. WPR, we're not just on your radio.
Support for WPR comes from Ashland County Tourism, offering Follow the Mural Brick Road, a tour of historic murals, including a treasure hunt held during the fall season of color through November in Ashland County. Details at muralbrickroad.com.
Support also comes from Serve, a nonprofit fair trade organization offering a wide variety of gifts and apparel that improve lives worldwide. Stores on State and Monroe Streets in Madison. More at serrv.org.
Coming up at 6 o'clock tonight, it's To the Best of Our Knowledge, an hour on building stories. Cabrini Green was a symbol for all that was wrong with public housing. The Chicago high-rise buildings were filled with violence and neglect that created horrible living conditions for more than 15,000 residents. But was it hopeless? We'll hear on To the Best of Our Knowledge at 6 o'clock.
Now here's a look at headlines with Noah Ovshinsky.
Difficulty accessing the federal health care website may be just part of the problem. Republicans are also pointing to a memo indicating that there were concerns about the security of the information submitted to the site by consumers. Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius told a House panel today that the system is secure, even though the site is operating with a temporary security certificate. Some retirees living on Social Security benefits say they're less than impressed with the 1.5% cost of living increase in their benefits next year. It will mean an average increase of $19 a month. The increase is among the smallest since automatic adjustments were adopted in 1975. And Wisconsin's chief job creation agency missed its goal for creating jobs last year. The Wisconsin State Journal reports that loans, tax credits, and other programs offered last year by the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation are expected to create just over 37,000 jobs. That is short of the agency's goal of 50,000. That's the news for now. I'm Noah Ovshinsky.
Thanks, Noah. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time, and we're picking up our conversation with John McMillian about the Beatles-Stones rivalry. And we want to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Who do you think is the superior band, and what factors do you think went into play in creating that rivalry?
And before we go to the calls, John, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned earlier that they weren't just rivals. They interacted with each other, were friends in some ways. Talk about how they got along in a positive way.
Well, they had a lot of similar experiences. They were both big bands in England, and so they could bond over their shared experiences, and they enjoyed socializing with each other. They liked each other's company, and they respected the work that each band was doing. And, you know, but yet at the same time, they still felt that they were competing for record sales and cultural influence and aesthetic credibility. And there were some petty rivalries and animosities. I think that John Lennon, you know, he was sort of a bohemian at heart, and I think he kind of resented that the Stones, he felt, may have sort of hijacked some of the Beatles' original image. He was never very comfortable going along with all that mop-top business. And he envied the Stones, I think, for their relative freedom of movement. The Beatles were all very frustrated with Beatlemania very quickly because they couldn't go anywhere without starting a riot or anything. They're always, you know, cooped up in their hotel rooms, and they sort of admired what the Stones could do. And I think the Stones just felt like they were always kind of second fiddle for a while. The Beatles always outsold the Stones by quite a bit, and I think the Stones just kind of wanted to be seen in the Beatles League, and they just never were quite as popular as the Beatles were.
You know, there's a funny story you start your book with about, I think it was Mick Jagger's birthday party. Could you tell that?
Sure, yeah. It was in 1968. Mick Jagger was turning 26, and he flew all the way from London, all the way from Los Angeles to London to hold a birthday party in his honor. And he had brought along an advance copy of their record, Beggar's Banquet, which was a really good record. Maybe it was soon, you know, to win accolades as the best Stones album to date. And so he previewed it for all his friends, and everyone was having a great time and really loving it. And then Paul McCartney strolled in, and he gave the club's disc jockey a 45 that had this Beatles song, Hey Jude, on one side and Revolution on the other. And no one had ever heard that before outside of the Beatles' inner circle. And then that really took off at the party. And then the club, the partiers kept asking them to play Hey Jude again and again because they loved that song. And then finally they flipped it over. And Mick Jagger seems, by many accounts, to be just a little bit peeved because he felt he'd been upstaged at his own party.
Can't be the star at his own party. Let's go to our callers now. We've got Glenn in Blue Mounds with us. Hi, Glenn.
Hi there. Earlier you had mentioned the Satanic Majesty's Request album by the Rolling Stones, which happens to have a 3D cover.
Mm-hmm.
And in the corners of that 3D cover, you're going to find the pictures of the Beatles. Apparently they had something to do with that album. So they were working close together at times then.
Well, it was kind of a funny back and forth that they had. You know, on the Sgt. Pepper record, if you remember that, there's that famous cover with the Beatles and then all the cardboard cutouts surrounded all by them. And there were lots of little hidden little tricks or images in that cover. And in the very corner of the cover, there's a doll, like a baby doll, who's wearing a tiny knitted sweater that says, Welcome, Rolling Stones. And says, so then the Stones responded by, on their record, having this, as the caller was saying, Glenn, this kind of like 3D cover. And if you sort of tilted it in certain directions, you could see images of the Beatles hidden on the cover. And so that was just a kind of a wink and a nod that the two bands made towards each other.
Okay, well, thanks a lot for that call, Glenn. And let's move next to Andy in La Crosse. Hi, Andy.
Hi there. I just wanted to give my perspective on why I enjoy both bands. I probably lean more towards the Beatles, but I'm certainly a fan of the Stones. And I think, for me, one of the differences is the Beatles might be looked at as more melodic, more lyrical, whereas the Stones are more raw emotion, powerful. Their songs are about things like sex and love, and not that the Beatles don't have songs about that or that they're not raw or emotional or that the Stones don't have melodic songs. I just think on the surface level, that's kind of a difference I've always seen in the two bands.
Interesting. Okay, thanks a lot for the thoughts, Andy. And I guess that's one way of shaking it down. The musical styles are not identical, are they?
No, they're not. And I think Andy put it well. I mean, I've heard a lot of people say that the Beatles were more a pop band and the Stones were the better rock band. And that's a dichotomy that works, you know, a lot of the time. Although, as he was saying, you know, it doesn't hold perfectly. Sometimes the Rolling Stones would write some pretty pop songs, and sometimes the Beatles were really rocking, and so that structuring opposition doesn't always hold, but he makes a good point.
John, I'm looking at a picture in your book now of something I had never heard about. John Lennon, Keith Richards, Eric Clapton, and Mitch Mitchell of the Jimi Hendrix Experience performing together. What's the story about that?
That was the first time that John Lennon had ever performed with anyone besides the Beatles since the Beatles got going in about 1960. That was for a show called the Rolling Stones Rock and Roll Circus. And the Rolling Stones were trying to record sort of a Christmas special that would be broadcast on the BBC, where they had a bunch of different rock bands playing in sort of a circus environment, and Mick Jagger was the ringmaster. And they got John Lennon to perform, and this was maybe the world's first, you know, rock and roll supergroup, mm-hmm. you know, with John and Keith Richards playing bass. And they did a Beatles song, and then they did a song that featured Yoko Ono, and it was just, I think it was a fun event for all of them.
But it didn't get released for years.
Didn't get released for various reasons, mostly, I think, because the Stones were embarrassed by their performance. In addition to playing themselves, they had the Who was on there, and a few other acts, and what most people believe is that the Stones thought they'd sort of been blown off the stage by the Who, and that was a big part of the problem, and so they just decided not to release it commercially until, I think, the mid-90s it came out on DVD.
All right, well, let's take another call. Matt is joining us from Dunn County. Hi, Matt.
Hey, you just stole all my thunder.
Oh, no.
The Who, back Live at Leeds is the best punk rock album ever, by the way. The Rock and Roll Circus, incredible, fun to watch. Taj Mahal, Marianne Faithful, etc. But, yeah, I was going to say earlier, the Beatles were pop and the Stones were rock. And never the twin shall meet in the middle somewhere. that's about it. I love them all.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Stones rock, Beatles pop, but he thinks the Who blows them both away.
Are you asking me to comment? I don't
sure,
know.
Yeah.
I don't take a position in the band between the Beatles and the Stones, but I think they're both better, a bit better than the Who, maybe a notch above. But that's my only aesthetic preference.
Well, I've got about a minute left or so, but I want to ask you, in terms of musical legends, I think the Beatles are considered legendary at this point. A lot of that might have to do with the fact that they disbanded at the height of their popularity. And then you've got the Rolling Stones, and these guys are still touring in a weird way. Mick Jagger still has it. How does that affect the debate?
Well, I think a lot of people wish the Beatles would have carried on, and I'm one of them, because they broke up, when they were still near the height of their power. But then the Stones went through a period, in the late 60s and early 70s where they put out four of just, legendary, great rock records. But then they kept going, and their output slowed down. They seemed to lose some of their interest in the Stones. And I think critics would say that there's been a decline in the work that they've been doing. And then on top of that, for a very long time, they just haven't seemed interested in doing a lot of new music. They're doing these nostalgia tours. And they play mostly to, baby boomers, and they're charging a lot of money for tickets, and they're playing their songs exactly as they sounded on the records 30 and 40 years ago. And so as a result, I think they've lost it. They don't seem quite as culturally powerful as the Beatles, because the Beatles have this mystique from breaking up and never getting together again, and the Stones have sort of soldiered on.
All right. Well, John, thanks a lot for being with us today. Appreciate your time.
I sure enjoyed it. Thank you very much for having me.
We've been talking to John McMillan. He's the author of the book Beatles versus Stones. And you can let us know what you think about that very important question on the Central Time Facebook page. Where do you come down? Are you a Beatles fan or a Stones fan? Let us know.
Or tweet us your favorite Beatles song, your favorite Stones song. We're Central Time WPR on Twitter.